Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hyperconscious Podcast. Alan, what is Hyperconscious?
Once you understand why something is the way that it is, now you have the power to change it. Great conversations with great people and great questions are the keys to the kingdom of unlocking your consciousness.
Every single action that you do starts as a thought. When you control the way you think, you will control the way you act, and you will control the way you live. That is hyperconscious. Geographically. This is cool. So I would say make sure that pretty face is showing.
Yes, true.
They're going to want to see that thing. They're going to want to see that thing, Alan. That face. You good?
Ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. So if you read the title, it is Kevin Palmieri from Suicidal to Thriving. For those of you who do not know, I am Kevin Palmieri. So we decided to do something a little bit different this week because I have been doing listener calls and I am learning an unbelievable amount about you guys. People are telling me stuff that nobody else knows, and it's like I'm just very grateful that you guys trust me enough to tell me that. I thought it would be nice for us to sit down and kind of figure out who we are, mostly me, and where we are, mostly me. But I think the better that you understand us, the more able we will be to help you. Just like,
right?
Did I just say a sentence?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think I did.
I think the gist was
there.
Came across.
Because the more I learn about you guys, it's easier for me to help. I understand what you're going through, and I don't think we're as different as many people might think.
Right.
Like, we are very similar. I'm very similar to everybody I've talked to.
So we talk a lot about this off air, but that basically, there's nobody who isn't going through challenges.
Yeah.
It's just, what are those challenges? And there's a lot of common denominators regarding whether it's your career, your health, your fitness endeavors, your intimate relationships. So the intention that I've sort of set prior to this episode is to really get to know Kevin for who he is today and help Kevin dig deep into some of the mental frameworks that have shifted in him since starting this podcast, because as the title suggests, at one point you were suicidal, you were unhappy, you didn't think there was any way out, you felt trapped.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that a lot of people out there feel that way, for sure.
Several times.
I've had someone very close to me recently tell me that she felt like she was in a rut. And I really, whenever someone says that, I was immediately drawn to that in the sense of like wanting to help this person get out of their rut. So for you, Kevin, one of the first questions that I wanted to ask you was, you've interviewed, 50 plus guests at this point?
Yeah, at least.
Right.
At least.
What, I get, this is going to be a really hard question, so really think about it if you can. Which lesson, when you think back, was your favorite from the guests?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
I know, I think that's it's an easy one for me, I think. I always go back to Anthony Trucks.
Right.
I always go back to the fact that he was treated by the people that were supposed to take care of him as badly as you can treat another human being, basically. And he was put, for those who haven't heard the episode, I don't know what number it is because I don't ever.
58, if I had to guess.
Okay.
48.
Okay.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah, probably a good idea. But for those who haven't heard it, go back and listen, but I'll give you a little blip of it. He was his foster family used to put him into a chicken coop. And he had to, like, run around and chase chickens and catch the chickens if he wanted to eat that night. He was forced to lick the bottom of people's shoes until his tongue was bleeding. And he still ended up this amazing, positive influence. Like, how... That blows my mind. The post I put up, it's truly beautiful when somebody who has every reason in the world, and I'm paraphrasing...
To quit.
To quit succeeds. They right. succeed anyway. That's always been... That's always been my thing. Eminem is the person I look up to because he had every reason to quit.
Yeah.
He was poor. He lived in a trailer park. He was made fun of. He was
white.
He was white. And yeah.
Right.
And it's like he had every reason to quit, and he never did. And he wanted to prove people wrong. And look at where he is now. He's widely regarded as the best rapper to ever walk this earth.
Right.
But Anthony Trucks blew me away, man, because it's like... He's just so positive, and he wants to help so much. I talked to him yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I DM'd him.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
It's number 68, by the way. Episode number 68, well, Anthony Trucks.
You got the 8 right.
From foster care to NFL player turned successful international speaker.
Yes, and he is all... It's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing. So the thing for me is I don't really think one episode... It's a combination. It's They've all added up.
Right.
And the one...
They've all compounded.
They've all compounded, some would say. The one takeaway... If somebody said to me, what is the one lesson you have learned from interviewing however many successful people, it's definitely got to be your adversity is your advantage. Like, that genuinely... Lori, Cheryl, Isabella, Eric LeGrand, Anthony Trucks, Brian Wood, Kevin Armentrout, every single one of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Every single one of them. Chris Rudin. Every single one of them has had a reason to not succeed. And they took that reason and turned it from an excuse into their motivation. And I think you and I did the same thing.
Damn right.
You and I did the same thing.
Okay. So, next question. How... Okay.
It's a lot easier to get the questions asked to you, man.
Right.
It's easy.
I'm already thrilled about this.
This is like the old days. This is the old days for us.
So your adversity is your advantage, and that's the one primary takeaway. And I couldn't agree more, by the way. I'm so glad that you said that.
You lit up when I said it.
Right. I have this quote that I keep going back to for the listeners where... When you're in emotional pain, you can either develop a virtue or escape into a vice. Now, the quote that you were saying, your adversity is your advantage, is something I heard from Darren Hardy. He said, your adversity is your advantage. It was the emotional training ground to build the emotional muscle to go and do extraordinary things that ordinary people simply cannot do. Now, you said that people took every reason to quit, and instead of using that as a reason to quit, they use it as their motivation. My favorite part of anyone we've ever interviewed on this podcast was when Evan Carmichael said the following phrase: if you haven't suffered, you're not capable of great things. You're just not motivated enough. Now, all of us have suffered in our own way, in our own flavor of suffering. And there's obviously levels to this suffering, but in our own consciousness, it's, you know, Anthony Trucks didn't know any different when he was chasing chickens in a chicken coop, right? So that level of suffering to us seems unbelievable. And some of the things that you and I have gone through are probably, you know, a level 10 out of 10 of suffering compared to some people's 8, but it's all relative. So my question for you is, how, from everyone you've interviewed, what made the difference between an Anthony Trucks and someone who didn't use that as the motivation to succeed?
You know, I'm unable to figure that out yet because it's almost like I had what I consider a rough childhood, and I obviously, and that's in my perception, in my reality at the time, I thought it was rough. Looking back, I still think it was rough, but it made me the man I was. Now, up until 2 years ago, I used that pain as an excuse.
What made the difference? Okay, so...
I found something bigger than me.
Right.
And I think we were talking about that in the preamble. I don't know. I know every single person. Every single person I've ever talked to has gone through some shit. Every single one, bar none.
Yep.
I've never met somebody who didn't.
Right.
But it's a matter of connecting the fact that, like, what do you want your identity to be? Do I want to be the dude whose father left and I was fatherless and I'm not a man because of it and, you know, I'm self-conscious about my height and I'm whatever. Do I want that to be my identity? No. No. But there's a fine line between accepting that and then saying, like, okay, but what will make me be more? Mm. Like, we were talking, man. The podcast makes me a better person. I am, like, handcuffed to it.
Right.
I do not ever want anybody to meet me and walk away and say, like, I thought he was going to be nicer than that. I don't ever want anybody to feel like I'm not a great person. Like, it is literally a sickness to me. That is who I am. I do not have a bone in my body. I don't like being mean.
We talked about that in the preamble, by the way. That's your magnificent obsession.
I firmly believe that.
Being the best human being you possibly can be. Yeah. I would argue that you didn't have as strong of a reason to be that person then as you do now.
I just want to take you guys, if you're listening back, to, like, I was thinking of this on the car ride down because we knew we were doing this episode, and I don't even know how to explain in words where I was 2 years ago. Like, I don't know how to put it into words. Like, if I could paint a picture with emotions, I think I could do it, but I don't know. I didn't think any of this was possible. None of this. I didn't think starting my own business was possible. I didn't think having amazing guests was possible. I didn't think working with somebody like this was possible. I didn't think any of this was possible, guys. I did not have any self-belief. All I was good at was lifting weights, in my opinion. You know, and I don't even know how I got here sometimes. I firmly believe that. Like, some days I have to pinch myself because this is crazy to me sometimes, man. You know, and I'm just unbelievably grateful for every person that's ever reached out and every guest we've ever had on and every conversation I've been able to have and every person I've been able to help. And I just, if you're thinking to yourself now, like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't feel like I'm worthy. I don't feel like I'm talented or intelligent or capable or enough. You are. You just haven't forced yourself to prove it yet.
You haven't tested those beliefs.
Yeah. The biggest takeaway, like, I want you guys to know that 2 years ago, I literally would have rather been dead than do what I was doing. I don't ever want you to think I am something extravagant or extraordinary. Maybe some people think I am. I appreciate that if you do, but you are just as capable, if not more capable than I am. 100%, I would bet any amount of money on it. It's just a matter of figuring out what's going to push you to that or pull you to that.
So for you, that was the podcast.
I don't ever want anybody to feel the way I felt. Ever.
I got kind of emotional with Kevin saying all of that because I've obviously been, you know, an integral part of this journey. And it has been a hell of a road. When you said that you didn't believe any of this was possible, I hope that this doesn't come off as an ego thing, because it's really not. I did know it was possible, to be completely honest.
I know.
And the reason I say that is for the listeners. If you are like Kevin and you don't believe in what's possible, get around someone who does.
Yeah.
And by the way, none of this right here, right now, would be possible without Kevin's critical part in it. So I may have believed that all of this was possible. Like, when you said that, my mind didn't flinch once. I 100% believed all of this was possible. 100%. And I can't wait for more that I already know is possible.
Right.
But I do think that it happened to be me for you and some other people in your life that do have a lot of self-belief, like Matt. But, like, if you are a listener out there like Kevin and you lack self-belief, I am telling you, get around ambition.
For sure.
Get around people who believe in themselves. I'm not talking in an ego way. Be careful of that. Because people on the far end of Drive to Five that think they're great but don't have any results to prove it, they aren't testing their beliefs and they aren't putting in the reps, be careful of that, because that's another trap. But if you get around someone who is chasing their dreams for long enough, I am telling you, you will catch the bug. And it's going to be a more challenging road, but it's definitely going to be more rewarding, and it's going to force you outside your comfort zone. So I think that, you know, a testament to you, Kev, you've been outside your comfort zone more in the last year and a half than I've ever seen anyone.
I appreciate that. I'm having this moment. So I always talk about the moment on the edge of the bed in New Jersey, like when I thought it would be better to be dead. But I had a moment probably like a year and a half before that. And I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't know, again, I don't know how to explain it in words, but it was just this feeling of just empty hopelessness where, like, it just felt like there was nothing here, nothing inside of me, nothing. No hope, no. It's like, what is there other than what I'm doing right now? Other than the stuff I'm worried about, other than the shit that I'm doing every day that I hate, what is there? What is there? I'm in the third floor of a Boston apartment, beautiful girlfriend, great job. Like, again, I had all the things that everybody could ever want. That's, you know, that's what everybody wants. And it's just, I didn't know what the more was, but I knew I wanted more. You know, and I understand. I know why people aren't motivated, because they don't see something that motivates them. Like, I didn't care about the money. When you're ready to die, the money doesn't matter. Mm. And the relationship doesn't matter. And the car doesn't matter. You don't think, the tattoos don't matter. The watch doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Nothing matters except that moment, that extreme pain you're in. And it's like, now, so much matters. So much matters now.
That's,
and I think that's what it is, man.
Deeper meaning. Your life has so much more meaning.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing a good job portraying it, because how do you explain...
You absolutely are.
How do you explain pain? How do you explain the darkest dark you've ever felt? You know?
So you... One of the quotes that I wrote on my Twitter once was that you cannot see the stars during the day.
One of my favorites.
They're always there, but sometimes it takes the darkness to see clearly that which you simply could not within the light. I was recently with a listener and a client of mine, and I was telling her that my star isn't bright enough. And she was like, "What? What do you mean?" And I said, "Honestly, my star needs to be so bright that someone can see it during the day. And it's not there yet."
Yeah.
And for the listeners, to be honest, like, Tony Robbins, like, his star is bright enough now with marketing and Netflix and the impact that he's had, that you can actually see him during the day. I'll post things on social media and stuff, and I remember telling you about that couple that lost their child mm-hmm. the night before, and they saw that quote and they reached out. And I told this to the listener, my client, I said, that's my greatest why, because a lot of the people that aren't in the dark don't understand why I do what I do. But I'll tell you what, when you're in the dark, you're gonna see that something's different. And I honestly believe that when you were in the dark, you saw my light.
I'm sure I did.
And you were willing to do whatever it took to be around it. And then now you have your own vortex of influence and your own star, your own light. So for the listeners out there, if you do feel hopeless like Kevin did, if you do feel empty, if you do feel like you're in a lot of pain, what feels like your worst day can become your best day if you hang inside that long enough to see a star that you couldn't see when things were kind of, like you said, like when tattoos do matter and when watches do matter and when cars do matter, yeah. Right? I always try to say, like, when you're not burning down and when you're not in your dark moments, like, a lot of things that are inessential seem to matter a lot, right? Like, you get a flat tire, it's like, oh, this ruined my whole day. Like, it's a whole thing. When in reality, if you think just in that same moment, like, what if a family member that I love were to pass away? All of a sudden, the tire doesn't matter at all, right? So when you're in deep, deep, deep emotional pain, you're going to find persons, places, and things that your heart really wants. And hopefully one of them, it was this podcast. I would argue that if you're listening to this podcast right now, most likely you were in some form of emotional pain.
Oh, most likely.
And you maybe saw a clip or you know, an audio thing, or maybe, you know, one of the listeners shared and you saw one of your friends listen to the podcast. You were looking for more. Human beings don't look for more when they're completely satisfied, when they're completely happy. So I guess what I want to ask you, Kevin, is when you were in those two really dark places that you just described so intricately, if you can try to think back, what star did you see that you couldn't have seen in the light?
I don't even... Let me think.
Yeah.
I don't think at the time I knew what I was feeling. Like, I knew it was bad, and I knew I didn't want to, like, live. But there was nothing like, I kind of just put my pants on and got on with it. It wasn't like
what
in
made
that
you
moment.
Not do it, right? There are some people that do commit suicide.
Probably because I was afraid.
Okay.
Like, I probably was afraid of how to do it, or I have people that love me. Like, that's one thing I've always felt that I've had. I've never felt like I wasn't loved by people around me. I've always had that. So it's like, I don't know. I don't think I wanted to be a coward. And I thought that would make me a coward. You know, like, I have never quit tattooed on my arm. You know, like, what are they going to do when they come find me dead and I have never quit tattooed? Like, I couldn't live by my own motto. You know, that's why I'm the never quit kid. That's why I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Like, I traded my fucking life for this podcast. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No.
It was a shitty life. So right. it was a fair trade, you know? But I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were like,
you're the funniest fucking dude in the world.
They said something along the lines of, like, why do you feel so different? And I was like, I'm 29 years old. I gave up $100,000 a year. I've given up relationships where things were quote-unquote good because I knew they weren't serving me. Like, I don't know. I just don't. I don't think I want what a lot of people want. Mm. I care more about helping somebody than I do almost about anything else. We were talking about that. Like, if I was on fire and you were on fire, I would put you out first. That's just who I am. And I don't know how not to be. I don't ever not want to be. Right. That's who I am. It's like, of course I have a podcast where it's about helping people. That's what I love. It just took me 27 years to figure out how much I actually loved it. And I really want to bring to light this. I never knew how much I liked helping people. When I was younger, I had two really good friends. We always used to joke that I was going to be the one who ended up in jail, or I was going to be the one who ended up dead, because I had the shittiest upbringing out of all of us. That was just the way it seemed. Like, I kind of thought that was, and we all did. We thought I was going to be the one who ended up in a shitty place in life. And so be careful. Like, number one, who you're around, always be careful of that.
Right.
Always be careful of that.
Please.
And number two, be careful what identity you try to live and the identity of, like, that people perceive of you. Like, you've always known I had more in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that everybody has. Matt has always known
right.
that I had more in me. I don't know. This is one of those things where I don't know how to.
Okay, so let's try to describe. Let's try to describe the difference. Everybody needs someone who believes in them.
For sure.
You just talked about two people who do.
Absolutely.
And who always did. What is different about Matt and I, who believed in you, versus someone who didn't, for the listeners, so that they can try to figure out. And it's not everyone else's job to believe in you, right, for the listeners.
Right.
But I'll tell you what. When you're around someone who does, you got to notice it and latch on. What? How did you know? Like, how do we figure out the difference between the people that said, "Ah, you're gonna end up fucked because your upbringing sucked. You didn't have a father, right? Like, you're gonna end up the worst out of all of us. You're gonna end up in jail." Like, to me, that makes me cringe.
Yeah,
man.
Me too.
That makes me so upset. Well, my thing is believing in people. I feel like that's my gift.
I believe
in you. You're capable of so much fucking more than you're demonstrating. Like, I know you are because I am too. Like, let's do this thing. Like, that's my thing. And so, I don't know. If the listeners don't have that and they feel like you felt, how do they find it?
It's tough, man. It's tough. With Matt, I'll speak specifically of Matt because he's like a brother to me, right? Matt's been there forever.
Matt's the man.
His family has always been amazing to me.
Right.
They've always been amazing, and they've always believed in me, and they've always...
Right.
One thing, Matt, I'll never forget, he says it often. I always am blown away by the person that you are because you had every single reason to be a piece of shit. And, like, when he says that, it's like, I'm humble, so it, you know, I appreciate it, But when you think about it, you know, if his, the way he views me is the opposite of the way I used to view myself. I used to view myself as the person who was going to end up a piece of shit because I had so much to go on. So it's almost like being around people who believe in you. It's, I don't know. I don't know if it's like a,
ooh.
Go ahead.
You didn't want, wow, Matt and Matt's family provided an alternative identity that you wanted to live up to.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to let them down.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Wow.
I can't let you down. How could I let you down?
Wow.
You know?
That's interesting.
They were always there.
Right.
They were always there. Dude, they
were always trying to help you.
They love me.
Right.
They genuinely love me. They invite me on vacation. It's like I'm part of their family.
Right.
So I never really thought of it that way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For the listeners, if you do, you must have someone out there right now that believes in you more than you believe in yourself. Like, you, Devin Klein said this. Prove them right.
Yeah.
You know, prove them right. I'm glad we just found that. For me, the thing that breaks my heart the most is wasted potential in myself and in other people. And so we took the anagram. Am I pronouncing that right?
I don't know. Anagram?
Anagram.
Yeah, spelled weird.
Shout out to Kim and Summer, who we mastermind with every week. And they're trying to get us to know ourselves better and know the listeners better and know human beings better. So we appreciate you so much. So we took a personality test called the anagram.
Something great.
Right. And it was tough. Yeah. Those questions were tough, right? A lot of self-reflection. And I came out as the achiever and the challenger. And I think that because wasted potential bothers me so much within myself and within others, I end up challenging people a lot. And some people don't like that, maybe. And I'm trying to work on that, by the way. I think who I am needs to be the challenge, not like, oh, go do better, you know. But like, I do believe that you have people in your life, similar to Kevin with Matt's family and Matt and me, that believe in you so much. And if you can really connect that and say, I cannot let them down. They always believed in me. Why do you think the Teddy story? I cry every time. I have yet to read that story and not bawl my eyes out, because both Teddy and Mrs. Thompson in that story became better human beings because of each other. Mrs. Thompson believed in Teddy, who had every reason to not succeed and to be nothing. And Mrs. Thompson didn't realize that she was naive to some of the traumas that Teddy was going through with his mother passing away and things like that. So if you haven't gone back and... Do we know what episode that was?
Of course not.
Oh, geez.
I don't even know what actual episode it was.
Right. It was one of the dramatic readings and one of the scratching the surfaces. We are sorry. Go find that. But we were bawling our... I was bawling my eyes out. And I guess... As a listener out there, there's people in your life who believe in you. I would recommend really trying to figure out who believes in you and try to get around them more.
Also, and this is something I've been dealing with, we've been talking about this, get around people who understand you. Like, I am a very intricate person when it comes to emotions and relationships. Like, I don't do things normal people do. I don't care
right.
that it looks... different.
Right.
I don't care. This is who I am. This is how I do things.
Right.
You know, so get around people who understand why you're doing what you're doing and what you're doing actually means to you. The personality test helped me tremendously.
Right.
Because it said that's what I was.
You ended up being the helper.
The helper. Like,
right.
Of course.
Right.
Sure. It makes sense. You know, but
the challenger and the helper unite
to make a.
And the achiever.
Love.
What was your second one?
We got I didn't mean it like that.
we do.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, to make love.
What was the other one?
We each have two. So I was I had a score of 11 on the challenger
and
a 12 in the achiever.
I don't know. I had like 10 minutes to do it because you took so freaking long.
sounds right.
You know?
This interview is supposed to be about Kevin.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, right.
Alan's here. It'll be about him a little bit.
Exactly.
I just, I don't know, man. On the way down here, I was thinking of a lot of stuff. And I just, the thing I want people to know is like, I never expected this. And I know you've never doubted it, but I don't think most people feel that way. I think most people have doubts, unlike you. I think you're a robot sometimes, in a good way. But I would hate for somebody to hear this podcast and say, like, oh, he's had it all figured out. Like, he knew when he started the podcast it was going to be like this. I had no freaking clue.
Nope.
When I started the podcast, I was talking about how shitty my life was.
Right.
You know, and I was sitting down talking to other people, and I was getting drunk on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock interviewing Alan.
Yeah, right.
This wasn't what I expected. This wasn't, quote-unquote, the plan. The plan has evolved with me. So yeah. I would hate for somebody to listen to this and be intimidated by the fact that they think I've made it to where I've made it. Trust me, where I am now is nowhere compared to where I want to be. But the only reason I've made it here is because of you, is because of Matt, is because of my family supporting me, even though they think I'm crazy. The only reason I'm here is because I need to help people. I need to. Not even that I want to. Of course I want to. But it is literally a requirement for me to feel fulfilled, for me to feel whole. I need to help people. Right. I need people to realize, like, your past is not your future unless you let it be. Your excuses are just reasons until you use them as motivation. Like, I just need that to happen. And that's why I'm doing this. If you found something, if you were a mother and your house was on fire and your son or daughter was inside, you're going back most likely.
100%.
Because it's bigger than you.
Right.
That's what this is. Obviously, it's not like that. But, you know, that's what it is to me. This is my baby. This is my thing. It just is super important. And I would hate for somebody to get it misconstrued and think, like, I've always known. Like, since I was 10 years old, I knew this was my thing. I had no clue what I wanted to do with my life until 2 years ago. So I don't care how old you are. There's still time. I don't care how young you are. There's still vision. I would hate for somebody. I wanted to make that clear that I always say I'm nothing special, and I mean that in the way of,
they can do it too.
Don't think just because I did it, you could never do it. Because I did it, you can, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Anybody can.
Love that. I want to ask you a question. So if you could go back and talk to the Kevin,
oh man,
that was considering suicide, knowing what you know now, what would you tell him?
Oh, Kevin, you stupid bastard. No. I would say,
get around, Alan.
I know that you're hurting, and I know that you're feeling like everything in your life has led you to this moment, and the truth is it has. But what if I told you that everything you have gone through was for a reason? What if I told you that all the pain that you've suffered and all the experiences that you wish you never had to go through happened to you, because if they happened to somebody else, they actually would go through with what you're thinking? What if everything that you experienced was so that you could help somebody else? What if you're so strong that you can handle all this and then show everybody else that the shit that you've been through isn't who you are? Like, that, that's how I tell it now. That's what it is. That's what it is. I firmly believe that what happened to me happened to me because maybe somebody else would have reacted differently, and they would have gone to their vices instead of creating a virtue. I think that is, I want to wear my past on my shoulder, on my arm, on my sleeve, so to say, so people realize, like, because of that, that's why I'm doing this.
Do you believe that you're capable of anything?
I do now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for the listeners,
but not every day. I don't wake up every day, roll out of bed and say, like, slap myself in the face and say, you are the man.
No, of course not.
Full disclosure, full vulnerability, I still have days where I don't want to get out of bed.
Right.
I still have anxiety.
Yep.
I trust me. I have days
bouts
where
of depression.
Yeah.
For sure.
I have all of that.
Right.
All of that. And I, again, don't ever want anybody to think, like, oh, I have anxiety or I'm depressed, I can never accomplish anything. No, I have it all the time.
So the old Kevin didn't believe that you could do any of this. The new Kevin believes that if your whole heart is in it, you can do it.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. So for the listeners, self-belief is a muscle that you can train.
Oh, for sure.
It's
for sure.
A muscle 100%. That you can train.
100%.
It comes from evidence. Yeah. Kevin has more evidence that he can think something and then make it real than he did before.
Yeah.
Consciously. hyper-consciously.
Some would say hyper-consciously.
Some might
shameless,
say that.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, right. And I really, if you don't believe in yourself right now, there's a way to get to the point where you do.
For sure.
And it's through consistent action in a desire to serve something greater than yourself. And it's just unbelievable to see how far you've come.
I appreciate that.
So you just admitted that you still have bouts of anxiety, depression, tough days. I think that's an inevitable part of the human condition. What's weird is there's still a lot of people out there that are kind of like, oh, well, you actually can be happy every day. I don't know if I believe that. Mm. I really don't like that people are trying to tell people that. Because you can't have just the fucking high notes. Like, what are we, just fist pumping in the club? Like, that's your life? Everything's good all the fucking time? Like, no contrast ever? No sad moments? No honest tears?
So, if somebody is coming out of a lot of pain and a lot of trauma, I think, can I use sliding scale here? I don't think I can. Shit.
I'll give you a sliding scale.
I don't know what that means, but I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I think if you were to come out of some dramatic pain, a lot of trauma, I think you should hope that the next, you know, twice as long is happy. If you just spent 2 months in a physically, mentally, emotionally abusive relationship, I hope the next 6 months of your life are nothing but happy. I honestly do.
Right.
I don't know how you accomplish that, though, because life is tough, you know, and maybe you won't be as unhappy as you were, I hope, you know, but what is happy to you? What is happiness to you if you're listening? Like, what constitutes quote unquote happy?
Well, I think that we've talked about this on a different episode.
We have.
Episode.
Can't
episode.
Give you the number. Episode.
Right.
Right. Appetizer.
But I think happiness is defined poorly, so therefore we don't know what we're seeking.
Oh, and that's what I think that I want. If you've dealt with some shit, I think what I'm trying to say is, like, you need a little bit of a grace period where you're able to get back to normal before you can actually deal with more. I think dealing with pain and then dealing with pain on top of pain and then dealing with pain on top of pain while you're already in pain is what people get to, like, their rock bottom. Now, I think if you just got out of something terrible, maybe you should search for a brighter future. Right? Search for a brighter future, but I don't expect you to jump into more pain right away. I know you might disagree with me on that.
No, I don't disagree with that.
You know what I mean?
I think that life is cyclical, and I think that there's building phases, and then there's downturns.
Imagine if a month ago, I was in that dark place of wanting to, like, commit suicide, right? And then I just sat back for a month, and I said, okay, let me collect myself. Like, let me collect myself. And now I'm jumping into the shark tank of stress and pressure that I'm in now. I guess what I'm trying to say is do it incrementally. Like, build up your tolerance for pain incrementally.
Right.
Don't jump from the most amount of pain you've ever been to try to jump into the most amount of pain, even in a direct...
Of course not.
Like, in a good manner.
You don't tear your ACL and then go squat the next day.
Right.
That wouldn't make any sense.
So
you need to recover.
I think there is a recovery phase. I just don't know how you do it, because if you've just gotten out of a bad relationship, your recovery phase might look like you being single, which might feel lonely, which is still pain, but it's not the degree of pain you were dealing with in that shitty relationship, so to say.
It might be more pain in less time, so a more dense amount of pain, whereas the relationship was like, you know, death by a thousand cuts maybe, or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. I think that the definition of happiness, just for the listeners, if you haven't listened to that other episode, I think happiness, we're told just do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
The problem is that's not how humans are wired. I think there's joy, I think there's happiness, and I think there's fulfillment. I would argue, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but I would argue that you are more fulfilled now
for sure
than you used to be, because now you live for a deeper meaning. And that deeper meaning is helping the listeners and your family and the vortex of influence that you have on me, Matt, everybody. Joy, I believe, is when you're in the process of doing something that you enjoy. I think you and I are both enjoying this right now.
For sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
If you're listening right now, hopefully you're enjoying listening to us. Okay? So that's joy. Happiness is if then. if I ask this girl out and she says yes, then I will be happy. Dopamine. Yay. If not, I will feel like shit. Okay, that's happiness. So if you're chasing happiness, it's always gonna, you're always gonna be a slave to it, because it, if you're chasing happiness, which is the if then, which is you're not gonna take risks, because the greater rewards of fulfillment, which I'll get into in a second, require risking happiness. Let me explain that. Let's say you really want to be with someone and you want to ask them to be with you. There's a chance that they are not going to want to be with you. That relationship is you, that potential relationship, that vision of the relationship is potentially fulfilling, because it's something with a deeper meaning and it's something that your heart wants that you have to grow toward, okay? You have to risk happiness to get it. Here's why. Because if you ask her or him, will you be with me? And they say no, you are going to not be happy.
Right.
But you will be fulfilled knowing that you didn't wonder what if for the rest of your life. So I would argue that people out there that are chasing happiness are... this is going to be a bold statement. If you're chasing the if then, you're kind of always chasing pleasure at the expense of something greater, because you're not going to go outside your comfort zone, because when you go outside your comfort zone, you are going to fail because it's new. You've never done this before. It's like trying to ice skate when you've never ice skated before. You're going to be terrible. You're going to look like a three-year-old, right? But the only thing that's fulfilling is knowing, like, I got on that damn ice. You could fall through the ice. You could fall and hurt your head. You could look stupid as a three-year-old on ice skates. That all is the risk required to get the fulfillment of knowing that you had this new experience with these people ice skating together. So the happiness thing is scary to me, because I don't think we ever really defined it in our culture.
What if we approach situations, speaking of a three-year-old, when you were three, right. When I was three, I'll speak for myself, my grandmother, one of my grandmothers, she said, you used to just run around naked, run up to people, groups of people, start conversations, do handstands, do front flips. You just did whatever you wanted.
Right.
Well, when your ego evolves along with the rest of you, you don't do those things.
Yeah, because you fear judgment. And you'd get arrested.
Well, you definitely get arrested. I think that when what's happy is usually what's easy.
Because it's pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the right? If-then. Because, like, there's no risk of downside.
Would I be happy,
right,
if I was sitting at home right now playing video games? Probably.
Oh yeah, you'd
right.
So you'd be in joy and you'd be happy, but you wouldn't be fulfilled.
Right, right. Right. So I think that.
So that would be, you would be getting 2/3 of the equation.
Your decision making has to evolve as you do, right? So, like, I don't want to make it about me, but I can only use me as an example because I know how I think.
Please do, though.
When
this is about you.
When Alan texted me and said, hey, Brendan Burchard just gave me free tickets.
Yes.
To go to HPA Live. And I was like, first of all, what is that?
Right.
And second of all, where is that?
Right.
And he said, it's in Arizona. Immediately.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
If I was looking for happiness,
right,
I would have said no.
Right.
I do not fly, Alan.
Right.
I don't talk to people with my mouth that right. I don't know.
Right.
Never mind a room of them.
Right.
Right. But so your decision making process has to look, you have to play out what it's going to look like in a year. Like, I don't ever, bold statement time. I almost don't ever make a decision based in the moment anymore. Like, how will this make me feel now? I was in a relationship/situationship that made me feel great in the moment.
Right.
But I knew it wouldn't evolve to something that fulfilled me. I knew that it wouldn't evolve to something that challenged me, to something that would make me a better person. Now, maybe you're not there yet, but if it's not going to make you better, just realize it.
Right.
Like, when I sit down
and...
And
then decide what to do
right.
with it.
Right. When I sit down and watch Netflix, I think to myself, there's a lot of things I could be doing instead of this. Does that make Netflix a bad thing? No. Netflix is incredible.
Right.
It's incredible. It's great. It has a bunch of good shows. The fact that you can snap your fingers and have any show you've ever wanted to watch is incredible.
Right.
But I always say, make sure that you realize what you might be trading in. Now, if you're on a diet and you say, Kevin, I really want a cheeseburger. I really want to eat over my calories by 500 calories. Go ahead. Just know that tomorrow and the rest of the week, you're going to have to eat under.
Right.
Or if that's not an option, it's going to take you a little bit longer to get to your goals.
At least contemplate the downside.
Yeah.
So when I...
Which we are actually doing an episode on that next week.
Next week.
The A and B side of things.
The A and B side of things. Oh, yeah, yes.
Free plug.
Right. That was actually not on purpose.
Not on purpose. Purpose.
High Performance Academy, Brendan Burchard. I asked Kevin to go. I'm so pumped. And I know in my heart, we've got to do this.
And you know I'm going to say no.
Right. And
right. He says, yep. Give me a little credit.
Here come
credit,
the excuses and the fucking whambulance.
Yes.
Luckily, I'm a good salesman. And no, you did a good job of knowing that this is something that you would regret if you didn't do it. Now, let's just real quick, you and me.
Oh, man.
That was a hard, hard decision to make, okay? Mm-hmm. That was not happiness.
No.
That was fulfillment.
No.
Okay. Giving up pleasure in the moment for something greater. Ready? Okay. We now have a mastermind every single week with Kim and Summer. We've had Summer on the podcast. We've had Anthony Trucks on the podcast. We've had Doc Jen Fit on the podcast. Let's name more things that would never be real.
Oh, man.
If we didn't go there.
Okay. Number one. I wouldn't have gotten over my fear of flying. I'm still afraid, but I just do it. It is what it is.
Right.
Whatever. I have to do it. It's necessary. I wouldn't have a millionaire mentor in Terrence.
Right.
We wouldn't have had him on another time.
78, I think.
We wouldn't have gone to Florida for the month, so we wouldn't have had J.B. Frank on.
Yep.
Dennis and Kathy Lang. Wade and Phil.
Evan Jarshauer.
Evan Jarshauer. We wouldn't have the website. We wouldn't have...
Seen Eddie Pinero in
seen
person.
Seen Eddie P. You wouldn't have podcast with Eddie P.
And you wouldn't have rapped.
I wouldn't have rapped right. with Eddie. We wouldn't have that next level video that he shot.
Right.
You
wouldn't have your mindset course on the website.
I wouldn't have my mindset
course. The website wouldn't be done.
I wouldn't have clients because that started in Florida.
Right.
I wouldn't. There's.
We wouldn't have seen Catherine.
We wouldn't have seen there. Catherine. Yeah. Right. A million. Like.
Right.
We would have lost 10 episodes. We would be 10 episodes, not behind necessarily, but we wouldn't have the ones we have. I wouldn't have the level of self-belief I have.
No chance, because you would have less evidence.
And that's just... And the thing, the scary but also super empowering thing is, we're only talking 8 months later.
Right.
Is it like,
been 8 months?
Could, I don't know. I'm just throwing a number out there.
Okay.
600 days.
Yeah.
So 600 days. If you play that out 10 years, that could change the entire course of your fucking life.
Right.
Like
the decision to chase fulfillment at the expense of pleasure.
What if, and I'm just going to make an example here. What if you go to the gym, the same gym 5 days a week, and you always see this beautiful woman or man there? And you're always catching eyes and smiling at each other, but you always think to yourself like, she would never go for a guy like me, or he would never go for a girl like me. And you ask them out. You date and you marry that person, and then you have a family with them. Imagine how much different your life would be if you didn't make that one choice. Like, that's what the choice that you're thinking about, if you're listening right now, that's what that choice could be. And I'm not trying to put pressure on you, because it doesn't mean it is, but...
I kind of am trying to put pressure on
you. Well, that's good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, right.
But I want you
make
to understand...
Make the goddamn choice. I'm sorry, but you got to do it.
I think you do too, but I'm not as hard
you'll
on you.
You'll regret it
as...
if you don't.
Yeah, if you'll regret it, then make the choice.
Right.
That is my barometer. I tell you that all the time. I get rejected in the gym by one of the most beautiful women in the gym.
Yep.
And before I walked out, I said, will I regret if I don't ask her? I asked her.
Yep.
And then I have seen her multiple times since. Do I regret it? Not a little bit. Not once. I don't care. I did what I thought was right at the time.
Right.
And if
you
I was...
You don't have what if now.
Yeah, I don't like what ifs.
What ifs suck.
What ifs suck.
I would argue that what if is the opposite of fulfillment. So when you just said that scenario...
Is this bothering you, me wrapping this around my...
No, you're okay. Good.
You keep looking at it.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just didn't know if it was you processing. You're like, what?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe subconsciously.
Yeah, so he's nervous. He's fidgeting.
So in the gym, the person that you described, the proverbial person, they are in the gym all the time, and they see this beautiful woman, and you said that they're afraid to ask, right? If you are someone who chases quote-unquote happiness, in other words, and your definition of that subconsciously is that you chase pleasure, you're never going to ask. The risk is going to be too great.
Yeah.
If you are hyper-conscious, you know that you have to do it, regardless of the outcome. because of the potential opportunity. Have you ever heard of opportunity cost?
I have. It's actually a very good song by Young Gerald, G-E-Z. But I also, yeah.
Okay. Going back to the beginning of this episode, when we talked about why does someone develop a virtue versus escape into a vice, I really do believe it all comes into self-belief. I look at some of the people from your past, my past, who aren't maybe living the happiest, healthiest, most productive lives they could, okay? Who maybe didn't maximize their potential, or aren't maximizing their potential, I should say. And the decision to develop a virtue versus escape into a vice, I think it comes down to your ability to believe in what you're capable of. And here's why. I have someone very near and dear to my heart, very, very close to me, part of my family, who, if she had had more self-belief, I truly believe that she would have developed more virtues rather than escape into vices. That doesn't make her a bad person. But I will tell you that when you're around people who believe in a very bright future, there's more opportunity cost to the vice.
Mm.
For you, let's just be real here. Like, so you you stopped smoking weed after Florida.
Yep.
Because you had a panic attack in the hotel.
Couple of them,
right? And now the opportunity cost, because of how bright your future is. So it was the panic attack in Florida that got you to consider, you know, okay, I'm not going to smoke weed for a while. Now you have this different perspective of yourself and your own potential. And because you have a bright future and mission, you now associate probably more pain to that vice than you used to, because there is some downside. Every choice you make has a downside. And we're going to do an episode on that.
For sure.
The downside's bigger when you believe in the future. Boom.
And just for a reference, so it was, I used to smoke occasionally before the gym.
Because
it really helps you get into your body. Like, right. I would get really good mind-muscle connections. All right, cool.
Hell yeah. And there's nothing wrong with
it. No.
I'm not trying to
no,
say.
No. Okay. No, right. I just want people to have context.
Please.
So we went to do a leg day one day, and I was literally in the squat rack, and I had like an anxiety attack.
I remember that. Yeah.
And I was like, interesting. I don't know. Maybe it's my allergies. It must be my allergies. I was also sick at the time, too,
yeah,
which is weird. But regardless, so we went to Florida, and then we went to Arizona. That was that far back.
Yep.
Right? Then when I got back, I just kind of stopped. I wasn't smoking nearly as much as I was because I associated the pain of an anxiety attack,
right,
with that. And I also had an anxiety attack in Florida, which was not related to marijuana at all.
Yep.
Because I didn't have any down there. But at the so I'm immediately connecting. I don't want people to think I travel with drugs. I'm immediately connecting, like, okay, what were the constants of all of those things and me feeling that way?
Yeah.
And so we got back from HBA Live.
Yeah.
And I still was sick. For like a month or 2 months, I was still sick, and I had no idea what it was.
Yeah, I remember.
Right? I have no idea what it was. Now I don't know if it was just super bad anxiety the whole time. I have no clue.
Are you better now?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But I still get anxiety sometimes. Like, right. I tell you, sometimes when I hit the punching bag,
yeah,
it's like if I go too hard, I start getting like super anxious.
Right.
I don't know why. But so we got back, and then I really cut back because I had this negative association.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to Florida for a month. So obviously I didn't smoke for a month,
yep,
while I was down there. And I got home and I tried it once or twice, and I had super bad anxiety when I did it. So I said, look, this isn't working.
Maybe it's not serving me anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe it will again. Who knows?
Who knows?
Go ahead.
I want people to realize, like, I enjoyed smoking, right? Like, I enjoyed it. I wanted to be the Joe Rogan of podcasting. Like,
right.
this, I wanted to be like Joe Rogan. He's always smoking on the podcast. I thought it'd be cool to do. but it got to the point where I realized, like, I had to be honest with myself and say, like, okay, why are you doing this? Like, are you doing it because it makes you feel good? Because it doesn't.
Anymore. It doesn't anymore. Right.
At one point it did. At one point I could relax. And I'm unable to relax now. And it's no longer serving me, like Alan said. So it was something that I had to cut out.
if you're out there right now and you want to be better and more disciplined, I really want people to realize that the belief you have in your own brighter future is the only way you're going to appear more disciplined. And here's why. Let me try to explain this. Okay, I want to be the greatest natural aesthetic men's physique fitness model on the planet. Okay, regardless of whether or not I ever get there or whether or not that we would even know if I did, that goal, all of a sudden, now alcohol is a bigger downside for me than any of you. I wanted to overcome alcohol. It took me fucking years to overcome this addiction. Arguably a decade. The only way I was able to overcome my vice was to create such a bright future that makes that vice more painful. You can do that too. Miyagi yourself. If there's something you want to stop doing, believe in a brighter future that forces you to say, wow, like, I'm never going to get there if I keep doing this. And that's how you win. It's the future. It's the compelling future that you believe can happen that will make you better today. And I think that's so powerful. And I think that goes back to the difference between you now versus back then. Kevin didn't believe this was possible. And look, there was no reason to do what wasn't possible.
But that was one of the feelings I had, was like, I don't know. I felt trapped. Right. I don't know what I'm going to do. I skipped college because I knew it wasn't for me. I tried personal training. Mm-hmm. I drove a truck.
Fire Academy.
I went to the Fire Academy. I did all these things, and I never felt...
And now you had the money that you thought would make you happy, and it didn't.
Yeah.
So now you feel trapped. You had the girl that you thought would make you happy.
I had everything.
Right. You had everything you thought you wanted, quote unquote. But I would argue you were chasing pleasure.
For sure. I will say right now
that at the expense of fulfillment.
I don't have nearly what I had.
Right. In terms of those things.
And so in terms of what society deems successful life, I don't have any of those things.
Can we go? Okay. Can we go there?
Yeah.
Can we? Okay. So
let's go.
Kevin, you are far more joyous, happy, and fulfilled on a consistent basis than you were back then.
Yes.
Okay. What did you have then that you no longer have? And I want people to realize that it's an inner game.
Oh,
it's
for sure.
All an inner game.
For sure.
So what did you have back then that society would deem success that you no longer have right now?
So we go like New Hampshire days?
Sure.
So I had my own apartment, two-bedroom apartment, two-bathroom apartment. Beautiful. It was great.
Yeah, it was
huge,
nice.
Huge yard. Everything was great.
Big TV for Call of Dudeski.
Giant TV. I had money. There was times where I used to have four or five checks I just didn't cash because I didn't need to.
Right.
I was making $100 an hour at some points.
Right.
I was making really good money. Really good money.
Yeah, you were.
I had a...
Spent money like a dickhead.
I spent money so bad. I spent a lot of money.
I'm just kidding.
No, really. We were going out to dinner on the road, spending... It didn't matter.
Right.
What do you mean? Yeah, I used to go to the... We would go to the bar in New Jersey
and
spend $300, and it was just, whatever. That's what it is. I used to buy rounds of shots for like 20 people all the time. So I was helping people in the wrong way.
Yeah,
Like T-Mac. I was being a leader in the wrong way.
That's what he said.
Yep. Beautiful girlfriend.
Yep.
Like, yeah, cool. Everything was great.
Yes, shoot. Beautiful.
Beautiful. For beautiful sure. girlfriend. What else?
Yoked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely
in
still,
shape.
Still Jack. I try.
Still Jack.
What else did
you
I
You won
have?
A bodybuilding show?
I had a reputation.
Yeah,
for sure. I had a reputation of...
You had your nice car. You still have that.
I was the first one out of my friends to make six figures.
Yeah.
And I wasn't hanging out with you at the time.
Yeah.
But to me, like, making... I made $100,000. Are you kidding me?
Right. Did you go to college? Right.
Yeah. I thought that was it. I thought, like...
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be it for me. By all standards, a nice place, nice car, beautiful girlfriend, beautiful body, a lot of money, fake self-belief because I had none.
Right.
I was super self-conscious. That's the thing. That's like the A and B side, man.
Right.
I had everything you could ever want, but internally I was going crazy and I wasn't happy.
Common denominators, man. I had the beautiful girlfriend. I had the six-figure well north of that job. I had a compelling career. I brought $3,000 to a casino on my 26th birthday, and it was in my pocket, and I told everybody, if I lose this, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
I had more money than I knew what to do with. I had tons of, you know, face value friendships, and they were more than face value. I want to say that. I had a lot of great friends. I still do. But the materialistic things that you think matter, we're told this growing up. Like, you always think, well, if I was good looking, if I had a nicer car, if I had, you know, that beautiful girl or that beautiful guy, if I had that job, it's an inner game, folks.
Oh, for sure.
It's an inner game. You and I were at our most low moments when we had all those things. And we now have something we didn't have before, which is a deeper meaning for our lives.
It's a dangerous game. I said this on my Instagram story the other day. People treat relationships a lot like their jobs. When they need love, when they need support, when they need to be felt, you know, they want to feel important. If you get your value, if you get your significance, if you get your being from a relationship, your relationship is like a job that you get your money from. When you lose your job, if you want to make more money, you have to go get another job immediately or you can't pay your bills.
Right.
If you get all of that stuff from a relationship and your relationship ends, that's why you hop right back into another relationship, because you think you're going to be happy again. You know how I know? I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it. I literally...
We all have.
Yeah.
I've done it too.
I went from a 3.5 year relationship to being broken up for like 6 days, and I jumped into another year and a half relationship. And I wondered why it didn't work. I never dealt with me, ever. Ever.
What are the lessons that you... And I think this is probably a good way to start wrapping up. What time are we at?
Oh, we're at an hour and eight.
Hour and eight. Oh, wow.
An hour.
We're at an hour.
An hour.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. How did I know? I didn't even know, but I think my subconscious was like, oh, it's time.
It's time.
I kind of want to start... This is a lot we just dumped on all you guys,
oh,
but
yeah.
It's very good. So, Kev, let's say you're a listener of the Hyperconscious Podcast. You 2 years ago were listening to this podcast, and the hosts have been privileged enough.
Handsome hosts.
Oh yeah, right. Handsome hosts. Word.
Yeah, I like it.
That's what they'll call us. Make sure that pretty face is showing.
You want to see that bleeping thing.
Let's say that, right. Let's say that you're a listener and you're listening and you don't have a lot of self-belief and you feel trapped like you just described, and you know you want more, and you know deep, deep, deep down that you're capable of more, but it's been buried by a lot of self-doubt and a lot of people telling you you suck or whatever it is. Let's go through some lessons that we've learned from being privileged enough to interview. We always say we have the cheat code. We get to interview ridiculously successful, happy, fulfilled, and productive people. And don't get me wrong, all of them still struggle too.
For sure.
With their things. But they all transformed through massive adversity, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And pretty much all of them, yeah. What are the lessons that we can bring to the listeners that... from your perspective, that are the most important out of all of this stuff?
So a lot of people say, like, well, I think a lot of people are afraid to take chances. And I'm putting that, like, quote unquote, take a chance.
Right.
But I don't like this saying with great risk comes great reward, because it's not guaranteed. But you'll never...
I see what
you're... You kind of have to open the door of chance to see if what's on the other side is something that you like. Like, I've tried things that I didn't like. Guys, I tried the fire academy. I became a firefighter, and I realized I should have put myself out there more and learned more,
right.
And I was not capable of being a firefighter.
Yeah.
So I quit. I got out of there. And that was painful. I thought I was going to be a firefighter. You know, I had a lot of stuff attached to that. That was going to be my life.
Right.
You know, so I think that every single person that we've had on the podcast has taken a big chance. A good size chance. We all have. You have, I have. We gave up our old stuff to try to get this new thing.
I also think we both got to a point where we knew the old life sucked.
I knew it sucked, but at eventually I realized, so if I'm going to go all in on this, I have to be all out on that.
We were willing to give it up, though, because we both realized it wasn't it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's this Les Brown quote where he says, money doesn't buy happiness, but everyone wants to find out for themselves. We know for sure that I believe that how much money you make is not nearly as important as how you make it. We all need money to live, I get
for sure,
that, okay?
For sure, for sure.
But how you make your money matters a lot, because that's how you live your life. Okay. Everyone wants money doesn't buy happiness, but everyone wants to find out for themselves. I would argue, and this is a distinction that just came to me, you and I tried what society told us to do, what we thought we should do. We chased the, you know, the beautiful girl, the tons of parties, the, you know, nice car, the kick-ass job, the tons of money, and we were still unhappy. So I think that we got to a place where we knew that other life wasn't for us. How do we get people there quicker?
I think if you wake up on a Monday and you're counting down the days till Friday, you're not living your best life. And maybe you're not,
right?
And I don't expect you to be in the position that Alan and I were in where we just left. I don't expect that.
No.
But what you need to do is think to yourself, like, how could I be happier than I am? How could I feel like I'm adding more value to the world? How could I feel more fulfilled? What am I doing that actually brings me joy?
Right.
This is a blast from the past, but we used to talk all the time about if you're spending 40 hours a week at your job that you hate, say you hate it,
right?
An hour each day commuting, you're looking at 45 hours a week.
No, so each day? No, it'd be 50.
50 hours
50
a
hours
week.
50 hours a week, yep.
Oh, no, an hour a day. So I was saying half hour.
Oh,
each
half hour each way. Okay,
right, we'll figure that.
Fair enough.
Because
okay,
I think
45.
The average is like 27 minutes or something.
Okay.
But so 45 hours.
Okay.
Then hopefully you're sleeping 8 a night, which is another 40. So that's 95 hours.
I know.
So it's like you have a very limited amount of time to do the stuff that brings you joy. Most people only do it on the weekends. Now, what do you do for joy when you're so stressed out that you're worried about erasing your previous week's memory? You don't do anything for joy. All you're doing at that point is damage control. So there's very little time for joy. Now, we get joy every when I sit down in front of the microphone, everything else kind of goes away.
Yeah.
I don't know anything that's going on in my life right now.
Right.
I know what's happening right in this moment.
Flow.
I'm in flow.
Yep.
You know?
Full immersion.
I get more joy in a 1-hour podcast than I used to get in a month's worth of my old life.
And I think that not only are you enjoying this, but you also get a dopamine hit after. You also grow.
Yeah.
And you're contributing.
Yeah.
That, to me, is joy, happiness, and fulfillment all wrapped into one thing. What is that for the listeners? What is that for you listening right now?
Yeah.
What is the thing that could actually fulfill you, bring you joy and happiness that you can do consistently that doesn't rely on externals? You know, that's huge.
It's there. It's there. But the thing is, if you're so afraid to take a chance... You know, like, I was afraid. Everybody's afraid to take the chance, but you have to, if there's no way the podcast would succeed if I was still working a normal job, like,
right.
I don't have the time. I got offered a job a week ago.
Right.
A buddy called me up and said, yo, I got a really, really good opportunity for you.
Right.
You can retire after 15 years, 80% pension, amazing benefits. You make your own hours.
Right.
I don't know if
good
it's
money.
Good money.
Right.
I don't know if it's something that like you're interested in. And I said, no, I can't. I can't do that.
It's not even a
He's like, well, you can give it a thought. And I said, I don't need to. I'm all in on this.
Right.
Now, I appreciate him reaching out. Great guy. I appreciate him reaching out. Working with him was amazing. I used to do it.
Right.
I used to work with him before. But I'm all in. I'm all in on this. Like, I have to be all in on this in order to do what's required.
Right.
So,
for
it
sure.
took a chance.
Yeah.
Now, I think, and we'll wrap up quickly. I see you looking at the clock.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. This is important.
I think something that people think is, if I take a chance and it doesn't work out, that'll be the end.
No.
And you're not holding...
The beginning.
Yeah, you're not holding your breath here. You're not underwater with a key shuffling, and if you don't figure it out in a minute, you're going to pass out.
Right.
You can start asking, like, all right, that didn't work. Didn't work.
Now I know.
Now, but I want to, I like what I'm doing. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to keep podcasting. I want to have my dog walking service. I want to have my babysitting service. I want to have my charity, whatever it is for you. I want to keep doing that, but this didn't work. That doesn't mean the dream isn't going to work. It just means you have to figure it out. You can build a house many different ways. You can build many different styles of houses. It doesn't have to look the same as it does for everybody else. Maybe the first thing you try isn't going to work. That's fine.
Right. The first thing you try isn't going to work.
Right. That's fine. That's why there's field goals
right.
in football, because people can't score touchdowns every time.
Right.
So you get a chance to kick it through the uprights.
And you still miss it.
And sometimes you miss it.
Right.
Right. So then you get the next play, the next drive to score again. It's you have to understand that maybe it's not going to work right away. It most likely won't. And that's fine. But that doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing.
No.
You know, you could do the wrong thing forever, and it might work all the time. It doesn't make it right.
So failing forward is one thing that I keep coming back to for the podcast. So you said adversity is your advantage. Failing forward. Let's hammer a few lessons from the podcast specifically, the podcast guests, from this journey that we could like kind of sum up to like that are the most important to help someone get to the next level in their
life.
You
should be scared a little bit
right
with what you're doing.
Huge.
Love
it.
That's
if you're not waking up with a panic attack at least once a week, you're not stretching your potential. I'm actually dead serious. That's how I woke up this morning. Kevin's here.
But I understand. This morning, I could hear it.
I know, right?
I could hear it 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Don't judge me.
I think that, again, going back to the way I portray things versus you, you're a little bit harder when it comes to that.
Right.
So I think that I'm always afraid. Like, I'm afraid when we have a next level guest, which we do every week now. Like, I'm afraid a little bit that I'm going to drop the ball.
Yeah.
I think you have to be.
Yep.
I think you have to be. If you're not afraid, you're not alive.
Right.
It's good. Yep. I think people think that fear is a bad thing.
Those butterflies is a good thing.
It's a good thing because it means you're doing
outside
something.
Outside your comfort zone.
It means you're doing something.
Right.
You know, and it means that, and the fear gets less every time.
Yeah.
It's there.
Until you go to that next level.
Yeah.
Then it's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it's probably worse.
Right.
But I think that's another thing. Like, people avoid feedback. Don't avoid feedback. Don't avoid
that's
fear.
That's a big one.
Make sure fear is where you want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you don't want to swim with sharks. Cool. Don't do it just to do it, maybe.
Right.
I do. I'm getting in a cage with a shark eventually. I need to do it. I need to conquer that.
I love it.
Wow. Yeah. I need to.
After he gets on a plane.
Yeah. I got to get on a plane to get there.
March 4th.
I don't think there's any sharks in shark cages in Massachusetts.
You can be on a ship, dog.
What are
you going on a boat?
I know that, but where? I'm saying up here?
Oh, that's right.
You do it in the warm water where they're probably less angry.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So don't avoid feedback. Don't avoid fear.
Fail forward.
Let me see.
There's a reason why all these cliches go outside your comfort zone. Like, your adversity is your advantage. If you tell yourself an empowering story.
Resources versus resourcefulness. Like, you'll never run out of resources if you're resourceful enough.
Yeah, that's huge.
Like, that's...
What's an example?
That's
Let's bring that down to earth. Yeah.
Let me see. Well, so it's simple, right?
We needed cameras, and then we ended up talking to T-Mac, and he gave us a camera.
Yeah.
So that was us being resourceful with our network, rather than when we didn't have the resources just to buy a camera.
Yeah. Right. It's, if staying...
That was a fish.
That was a fish. Blah, blah, blah. If you're in a circle, okay?
Right.
If you're in a circle, pretend you're in a cage right now, okay?
Right.
And you want to stay in that cage for as long as possible, and there's a bunch of tools around. You're going to figure out a way to stay in that cage for as long as possible.
Interesting.
Where if you didn't want to be in that cage, you're going for the door when things get uncomfortable. Resources versus resourcefulness. If you're you'll find the resources in there to stay in that cage. That's what we're doing. We're finding the resources.
Wouldn't it be a better analogy to try to
probably
get out of the cage?
Probably, that wasn't a good one.
Yeah.
No.
So you're trying to get out of the cage.
I want to be
most
in this...
people are in a cage.
Yeah, but I want to be in this cage of podcasting. I want to stay in this lane, so to speak.
Okay.
So I'm picking up everything I can.
Oh, I see.
To stay
in this lane.
Now I know how to edit video now. I know how to edit audio now.
Right.
I know how to prospect.
YouTube thumbnails.
I know how to do YouTube. I know how to do YouTube
Photoshop.
Thumbnails. I know how to do photo. Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Adobe Spark.
Adobe Spark. There's things that I had to learn.
Right.
Where I never pictured I would learn, but right. I was forced to learn them in order to stay in this lane.
Which created who you become.
Right.
Ah, fire. Right. So we have your adversity is your advantage. Fail forward.
Yep.
Get outside your comfort zone. Be resourceful.
Yep.
Don't worry about resources. Be resourceful.
Yep.
One of them was something else that you said. There was one other one. You did say a lot.
I said a lot.
I would also...
Don't avoid feedback.
Or that's fear. A huge one. Yeah, you need to be a little bit afraid. Don't avoid feedback. What are some other really good lessons?
You become the sum average of the five people you spend the most time with. 100%. Every guest has agreed with that.
Yeah, if you just did that...
Yeah, your life would change.
Your life would change. I do that with my clients real quick, super fast. So there's an exercise I do with my clients, and they can attest to this. We take 10 of their closest associations, and the reason I do 10 is so that they have to really think and stretch. And then I have them rate them from 0 to 10, and I tell them to be brutally honest. Don't worry, you're not being unkind. Just be honest. You need the truth, right? Perception versus reality. And rate them on two things. How passionate they are about fitness and their physique from 0 to 10. And I say, by the way, I want you to rate yourself and I want you to rate me. and that way it's the full scale. It is blatantly obvious after they do that, that the reason why they feel like they're not making progress is because no one around them cares about fitness. Mm. If no one around you cares about fitness, and you're the only one who does, you're not going to be as consistent as you would if you were around a bunch of people passionate. It's the way it is. Like Nate, Matt, Kevin, like all of us love fitness. We all want to be strong. We all want to be fit. Like there's a reason why birds of a feather flock together. So, some average of the five people. What else we got?
Yeah, I don't know. You throw some in here.
Lessons from
the
podcast. Because this is about you.
I know, but you're the one, like, you know when I'm in the podcast, I don't know what's going on. I'm so focused on
right.
the moment.
What are some other ones? I think that the vices versus virtues. I think that when you're in emotional pain, try to choose a virtue. Don't choose a vice. And again, you wouldn't know that you were choosing a vice unless you became hyperconscious. Like,
yeah.
Hyperconscious is your awareness of like, wow, I am definitely escaping more than I'm building right now. And is that good, right, for the long run? The joy, happiness, and fulfillment framework.
Yeah.
That's
huge. Oh, Dr. Nikki Starr.
Right.
Anchors and... No, anchors.
Filters.
Filters
and magnets.
Magnets. So, if... You can explain it. You're better at explaining things than I am.
I'll package these things. So, Dr. Nikki Starr came on the show, and she said that growing is going to make your star shine even brighter, and it's going to act as both a filter and a magnet. And I kind of talked about this earlier on the episode when it came to the star and the darkness and all that, but it's going to be too bright for people who can't handle it, and they're going to shy away from you and probably give you some resistance and maybe even talk behind your back and stuff, by the way. Be prepared. But the people that belong in your life that are in pain and that want the brightness will be attracted to you. So that's a huge one.
I think that's good.
We can do a few more. What do you think?
Jeez.
If you haven't suffered, you're not capable of great things.
Living is giving.
The secret to living is giving.
Jarek said something about that.
Yeah.
What else?
Having a why that's bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some other really good lessons?
Too many episodes, man.
Right. Oh, one of them is Terrence with. You can come back from anything.
Yeah.
And people won't remember the fall. They'll remember the comeback.
Yeah. And then also, we did an episode on him that, you know, with him, that death really makes you appreciate time.
Right.
Like, we are all finite creatures.
Running
day,
out of time.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if this was on the podcast, but this is something that I've really come to the realization of, that motivation is momentary. Like, you're not always motivated.
Yeah.
But if there's something that you're pulled to do, if there's something greater than you that you know, I firmly believe I'm here to help people.
Right.
I firmly believe that. So it's the days where I don't want to do anything that even if I do just a little something to get me closer to that, it's better than if I just sat around and did nothing.
Yep.
It just gives you not necessarily motivation, but it's that momentum, it's that energy, it's that flow, it's pulling you towards that.
Absolutely.
What else? Is that
Chris Rudin, Titans aren't born, they're built. Your disability is not your disadvantage. So he has a disability, but he made something of it.
Great.
Choosing an empowering story, Lori.
Lori, yeah.
Like no matter what happens to you, you can choose the empowering version of it. What are some other really good ones? Those are some of the fundamentals.
I feel like those are the ones that come to the... They are... spoken about more often.
Yeah.
Every one of the guests has had an amazing story.
Right.
Everyone.
Every one of them.
Everyone.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's... If you're listening, you have your own unique version of your own story, and you've gone through your own experiences and your own traumas and your own problems. You have your own lessons. It's what you choose to do with them. We are all a unique product. We all have a unique recipe.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason... why we're each and every one of us has a unique thing we can bring to the world. Nobody's ever experienced the same life.
Nope.
Everything's been different. So you have something, you just have something in you that I cannot have.
Right.
And maybe I can have it, but I don't have it by nature.
There's something unique to each of us that nobody can have your fingerprint, right? Nobody can have your handwriting. There's something unique about
you. My handwriting is dog shit.
Right.
Interesting this is episode,
right? This
so
has been,
I do
want to very contemplative.
Yeah, I want to wrap it up in a way where I know you said it, and I agree. This was a lot.
right.
of stuff, if you're listening.
A compilation.
A compilation, so to speak, they say, as they say. They will say. I want you, if you're listening, to realize that it's not... It sounds like a lot, but maybe for you it's just taking that initial step. Maybe for you it's just getting out of your comfort zone even a little bit. Even a little bit. Like, in the beginning, getting out of my comfort zone was podcasting with Alan.
Yeah.
That was getting around Alan was podcasting. So, excuse me. I don't want you to think...
And now that's nothing.
Now that's nothing. We're doing that right now. You know, I just showed up and was ready to go.
I remember when you thought I was something special.
No, I know. Now I know behind, behind the curtain.
Yeah, right. Now
but
I know it's not.
Do not get overwhelmed by this episode and say like, oh man, that's so much. I could never do that. Bring yourself... Or listen back, bring yourself to where I was, where I felt the same way.
Yeah. Stop looking at the polished product.
Yeah. Like, and that's why I love our podcast and sitting down with you and us being so open. I don't want you guys to be intimidated.
Yeah.
Because if you're intimidated, you're going to be so much less likely to start.
Right.
Like, just start.
Yeah.
Just start somewhere. Get out of your comfort zone. Send a message to somebody that you never would before.
Anything.
Make eye contact with somebody. If that, whatever it is for you, sliding scale, slide that scale.
This has been super contemplative. This has been good, man.
I enjoyed this. I did too. I think in the future we're gonna have to do one on you as well.
This ended up being both of us, but I think that one will be as well.
It would probably be just you, because I would stick to the script and just ask the freaking questions.
Right.
But ladies and gents, honestly, I am so unbelievably grateful for you, Alan. I am grateful for you, my brother. It wouldn't be the same. This journey would not be the same without you.
Yeah.
I would have died probably somewhere on the side of the road by now, run out of gas. But if you're listening, don't get overwhelmed by all this. Like, this is a year and a half in the making.
Right.
This is hundreds of hours of fear chasing. This is rejection. This is pain. This is a lot of things. It might sound like I could never do that. I could never go through that. I could never deal with that stress. You got to work your way up and you got to do it, you know, hanging on the wings of something that brings you. That's what the podcast is to me. It brings me to these places, and I just deal with it along the way. I'm unbelievably grateful. And last thing, we talked about what I used to have and the money that I used to have, the relationships I used to have, the house, the all that shit. I am 100 billion trillion, the biggest number that you can even imagine, times happier now, because I am doing what I am genuinely excited about. I'm ecstatic about this. Helping somebody helps me. So find something that lights you up and then chase that shit. Because when you're 90 years old, there's a good chance that you're going to wish you did.
How will you serve the world? What do they need that your gifts and talents can provide? Kev, you've come a long way, man.
I appreciate that. It's been truly unbelievable.
And honestly, if Kevin and I can do it, anyone can.
Anybody.
It's just one small baby step in the right direction towards your brighter future. Consistently over time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Kevin Palmieri, and this is my story.
Hell yeah.
We'll talk to you soon. We hope you enjoyed.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening to another episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast.
Going hyperconscious will absolutely change your life, because if you understand why something is the way it is, now you have the power to change it. If you going hyperconscious with us has changed your life in any way, please share this episode with one of your friends, because the more people that go hyperconscious, the better this world's going to be for everybody.
And if you would kindly leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help us make more people hyperconscious, and we would be greatly appreciative.
Thank you.
Bye.